Everybody, welcome back. We're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, our hometown, on our big tour here and seeing friends and family. And the lovely Jess is back with me. I've been waiting so long for this moment.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The last 5 has been painstakingly, but it's great. Good. It's good. And we've actually got an awesome guest on the show today. We've been working together the last couple of months and got to know this dude, hanging out with him, and his artwork is bar none, you know, world renowned. I guess I can maybe even say right? And you're a Rat Fink authenticated artist. You're everything. Thomas Estrada, man, welcome to the show.
Oh, man, thank you so much. This is so awesome. I mean, what an honor to be hanging out with you guys.
It's so weird that people say that to me, but it's just...
It is, you know? I mean, you know, you guys are awesome, so I'm super happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
This for is sure.
Too cool.
I like your hat.
Oh, thank you.
Next time.
You do. I would watch him.
It's been a wild ride. You know, it's just funny thinking back at where I am now and where... we all got started, you know, like I'd mentioned, my wife and I had been dating since we were kids at 15 and 14. And, you know, she was with me before I ever even thought that I can do art for a living. You know, I grew up doing artwork. I was always on the class yearbook staff, and I drew, you know, on everybody's notebooks, and I did all that stuff. But after high school, I didn't have a lot of direction. I didn't really know what to do with it. I, like so many artists, I didn't think I was good enough to make that into a career. And so for many years after high school, it was just a hobby. It was just something I did for fun because I really didn't think I could do that. And, you know, and I found myself doing just different odds and end jobs. You know, I didn't go to college. I didn't go to art school. And so I was just working whatever I could just to get by. And, you know, my wife and I got married. You know, she was 19. I had just turned 20. And with no education, I found myself working in pest control.
Okay. All things. What was your first job?
I was killing bugs. And I did that for several years. And, you know, it wasn't a job that I loved, but it paid the bills.
Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, we had a house. You know, we had our first kid. Our daughter was born in 95. Anyways, we had the house, and I was working in pest control for a living. And that was kind of it. And it wasn't until in 96, we went to a family reunion, and my wife had a cousin that she didn't even know is like a third cousin. And I found out that he worked at Disney. This was in Southern California. And I'd heard there was a guy here that works for Disney. And so like a lot of artists like myself was like, oh, I want to go meet this guy.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so I introduced myself. I told him I was interested in drawing, but I didn't know if I was any good. And he was just the coolest guy, Larry Flores, my wife's cousin. He took me under his wing, started teaching me the entry level of animation, which is basically in-betweening. And in-betweening sounds very much like what it is. You get the maybe drawing number one, drawing number five of your supervisor, and you draw the iterations in between the two drawings.
Okay.
And this is old school hand-drawn animation where you flip the pages back and forth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, and you draw them in between. So he was teaching me that, and he was also helping me put together a portfolio of life drawing of animals and people, because that's the first step when you submit to a studio is you have to submit a life drawing portfolio, because that's the hardest stuff to draw. If anyone knows, drawing humans and animals is really difficult to do correctly. And well, the studios know that also. And so when you submit a portfolio, that's all they want to see in there. So he was helping me put this stuff together and teaching me in betweening. So in 1997, I submitted to Disney where he was working, but they had just finished Hercules was the movie they had just finished at the time. So they weren't really hiring. But down the street, there was a new studio called DreamWorks, and they were working on their first film called The Prince of Egypt. It was a Moses movie.
This is a good story.
I literally went down there in my pest control truck because I was working that day. And Universal's DreamWorks at the time was on a back lot in a little office building in the back lot of Universal Studios. That's where it was in L.A. So I drove up there, and they had, I remember the guard shack was out front, and they had this big metal gate, you know, to keep us riffraff out of there. But I remember the guard looking out the window, and he saw my pest control truck.
Here.
Probably had a big spider on the side of the door. And he opened the gate and let me in.
Yeah.
So I came in with no appointment or anything. I dropped off my portfolio. And they ended up calling me a few weeks later. They said, we like your life drawing portfolio. come in and take the animation test, the in-betweening test.
Yeah.
And that's how I got my first gig, was on the Prince of Egypt.
The in-between, the flip then.
Yeah, it was an 8-hour test, and they gave me two drawings, and it was an all-day thing. They said, here's these two drawings, do the in-between, see how many you can do in an 8-hour period. And they judged the quantity and the quality of the drawings. And so I did that. And then a few weeks later, I got the call and they said, congratulations, you're going to work on The Prince of Egypt, this major motion picture. And
yeah, it's really cool.
I just couldn't believe it. You know, I from going from killing bugs to now I'm in this Hollywood studio working on this major motion picture. It's just like, I can't believe this is happening.
Crazy.
Craziest thing. Okay. And anyway, so the crazy thing is, and I'll tell this story really quick, because it's kind of interesting. So on The Prince of Egypt, I'm working on this film and I'm on the Moses unit and I have a supervisor. Every character has its own supervisor. And so this one on Prince of Egypt, I had Brian, this guy was my supervisor. About a year later, I got cast on to The Road to El Dorado, which was the next film. And I was on another team with a different supervisor. Her name was Nicola Courtney. And I knew who she was during Prince of Egypt, but I never worked with her because I was on a different team. So when they brought me in the first day on El Dorado, it was a year later, the producer brought me in. They said, Nicola, this is Thomas Estrada. He's going to be one of your assistants. And as she was drawing at her desk, I remember this, she had her back to us. And as she slowly turned around, she pointed at me and she said, Thomas Estrada, did you work in pest control? And I was like, oh, my gosh, did I like spray her house? I'm racking my brain. And she says, I said, yeah, I did. She says, I remember when you applied here like a year ago on The Prince of Egypt. She said, I was on the review board. We had stacks and stacks of portfolios because it's a new studio. Everybody wants to work here. Sure. She said, I remember looking through all of them. And she said, most of them were like either artists coming from Disney and different studios, or they were art school graduates. She said, I remember coming across yours. And she said, don't get me wrong, I liked your life drawing. I liked what you had. But I remember reading the resume. It said, there's no experience, no art school, current occupation, pest control. She said, funny. I remember telling the other reviewers, look at this guy. He's got no education, no art school. And he's working in pest control and he wants to be an animator.
Right.
Why don't we let him come in and take the animation test?
That's so great.
And I said, wow, you remember? She's like, I always remembered your name. We'd say that. And we're still friends to this day. That's thank her for that opportunity.
100%.
That one little thing stood out.
But it's cool. And that one little thing gets you to the next level.
Into that next level. And it completely changed my life. I ended up working on 10 feature films and a dozen video games. And
did
that for 20 years.
Did I see correctly that you were involved with Over the Hedge?
Over the Hedge I worked on, yes.
That's a good movie.
One of my favorite kid movies, and I don't feel it got the accolades that it deserves.
It was a little underrated,
Oh, I loved Over the Hedge. Over the Hedge was
Emperor's New Groove, Treasure Planet, Atlantis, and then a bunch of video games I got to work on. Yeah, God of War and Gears of War, Uncharted. There was a couple Spyro the Dragon games in there. And
very cool.
Disney Infinity.
You got a huge resume, man.
It's been a lot of fun, you know, and it's just... And so I did that for 20 plus years of just working in the animation industry. And, you know, and then about 2016, you know, we were getting on to another game and it was the Hogwarts Legacy game. I was with Warner Brothers at this time. And, you know, the hours were getting really long. There was a really big, ambitious game. And about that time, you know, my mom had passed away. You know, I was in my late 40s, so call it a midlife crisis or whatever.
Crisis, but sure.
You start to reevaluate, you know, I don't know how much time I have left and where do I want to spend whatever those years might be. You know, I don't want to work on another video game. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I have no regrets. I'm thankful for that. But, you know, you start rethinking, like, you know, what else can I do with this artwork and this thing? And so I started drawing again, just... But because by this time I'm just doing computer animation and I hadn't drawn in several years.
Okay.
And so I started drawing again and we started picking up some stuff on the weekends, comic book conventions, because of my animation background, we were getting invited to Comic Cons. And then I started fiddling around with Rat Fink, something that I drew when I was a little kid. And just out of nostalgia, I started messing around with it again. And I got in touch with Eileen Roth, who with Rat Fink and the Ed Roth family. and I signed on as an official Rat Fink artist. And so everything just kind of took off from there, where I told my wife, like, you know what, let's just do this for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I quit my job at WB. We bought an RV. We sold the house. We still rent a little place in town because that's where both of our kids are married and live in town. And we just started hitting the road and just doing car shows. And
that's so much fun.
And meeting great people like you and just doing this kind of thing. And it's just been a whirlwind.
And I'm glad.
So
I'm glad
that's in a nutshell. Sorry for that. I don't mean to monopolize.
No, that's what we do. We loved it. I mean, that's what me and Jess love doing, the stories and hearing the stories of what's going on. You have been nonstop busy since the gates have opened on Friday.
It's been great. You know, and that's just so much of what I love about doing these kind of things. You know, I'm fortunately for me as an artist, you know, with a lot of the artists that I work with, artists sometimes can tend to be very reclusive. They don't like to really get out there and meet people.
Sure. No, they're very shy.
Absolutely. And I've worked with a lot of them over the years in the studios. And I'm fortunate enough that my personality, I love talking with people. I don't have a problem with getting in front of big crowds, you know, because we do Comic Cons and I'll do panels for 500 people and talk about movies that I worked in. And it's just something I enjoy just naturally. I love meeting people and I love just that whole experience. And so it works well for me, you know, to combine that with my artwork, that I can talk about the films I worked on, talk about with different projects I've been on. And I just naturally enjoy that. And so to be part of an event like this, and I'm be on tour with you guys, it's just so much fun for me because I love just getting out there and meeting people. And, you know, a lot of the films I worked on, they did not do well at the time. And, you know, frankly, a lot of them bombed at that time, like Emperor's New Groove and Over the Hedge. They did not do well. But over the years, they've built this cult following where, you know, I now have people that have grown up watching these things. And so when I meet them at shows like this, they're so excited to, you know, I hear these great stories about kids that are now in their 20s and 30s that are telling me, you know, me and my best friend here, every Friday night we would do sleepovers and watch Treasure Planet or Over the Hedge. And to hear that stuff, and it's like how much that means to them. And, you know, and to meet somebody that worked on one of those projects, you know, it's just really cool for me, you know, to hear those stories. And, you know, I get stories of guys, you know, I've had guys come up and they'll show me tattoos of Treasure Planet on their arm. And they'll say, you know, I was in a car accident. I was in the hospital for months and it was Treasure Planet that got me through that. And it's like,
really?
Oh yeah. And it's like incredible to hear some of this stuff. And it's like at the time when you're working on those, you know, 25 years ago, you don't think about that impact that this might have on somebody so many years later. And even things with Rat Fink, you know, being able to work with Rat Fink,
that's pretty epic.
I run into some people that are 75 years old and they're telling me, you know, I had Rat Fink when I was in junior high school and I used to draw this on my books and I haven't seen this in so many years and the memories this brings back and all that stuff is just so cool. It's just so special to be able to be a small part of that, you know, and so I love it. And so to have an opportunity like this to be with Motor Mania and doing this tour is just, yeah, it's a dream come true. I love it.
So now this is probably a rhetorical question, but I'm assuming you had to audition to be a licensed Rat Fink artist.
I did submit my work to Eileen. You know, I told her what a big fan I was. You know, they want to make sure, you know, who they're bringing in can draw. And but more than that, they want to know what it means to you, you know. And so when I got in touch with her, you know, I was able to express just what Rat Fink meant to me. You know, it's literally one of the very earliest things I could remember drawing. You know, as a young boy in the late 70s, it was all about drawing hot rods and the big tires and the smoke the flames.
That's what I was in our class for.
And Rat Fink to me was just the epitome of that. I mean, they had the biggest tires and the smoke and the flames.
Sure.
And it had just this gritty, rebellious, kind of underground kind of vibe.
That's great.
Absolutely.
I don't think that'll ever change the excitement that somebody gets. Like the excitement you just got.
Yeah. That's it. And so I told her all that and I said, this is what I love. And so when she offered me that, I'm like, oh my God, I mean, what a dream come true. I mean, to be able to be part of that. And it's been like that for, you know, so many things now, you know, whether it's working with Evel Knievel. I mean, my gosh, to draw official Evel Knievel stuff. Yeah.
That's pretty
just
cool.
So insane to me, you know, and I've gotten to work with Alice Cooper. I did stuff with him and Foo Fighters and Big Daddy Don Garlitz.
Yeah.
Like some of these
properties. The names that you've gotten to do is so
stuff
cool
that stuff that I've grown up with that just means so much. And to be a small part of that is just like mind blowing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have
happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
And I mean, even now, actually, you know, I knew who you were obviously before the connection that we actually got to meet face to face months back here. I mean, actually last fall now, but even get to work with you now, actually having a say in, and again, I still say this whole realm, and again, thanking everybody to help me support. And when we started this brand in 2019, when I just started as a napkin idea, and now where we came in this just a few short years. I mean, I would have never dreamt this in a million years. I'd be saying,
yeah,
who are the Evel Knievel in 5 years of this business, but to go through in that and then actually sitting on the phone with you, discussing what artwork we want to do for the next t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And I think one of the funniest ones is that, you know, even Kelly said, what do you want the dragster for? And I'm like, dude, it's the Formula One dragster. And he's like, he goes, well, I don't think anybody cares about that. It's about the bikes. So I'm like, oh, dude, I'm going to take it on tour. And nobody's ever seen that thing out in public. And we,
oh, yeah.
And then, you know, we did two illustrations with you, of course, the E2 rocket and a bike, right?
That's, yeah.
You know, and not knocking on anything, but I'm like, dude, it's been done so much that that's
so
boring. I'm like, okay. So, like, what do you want to do next? I'm like, dude, make me a drawing of the dragster and the band. And I'll never forget when you call me back. You're like, hey, man, I got the dragster done. And I'm like, you know, and one of our PR guys reached out to you and said, yeah, Judd Bagley said you're supposed to make this van. And it was like a 70s van. You're like, what's 70s van? And I'm like, this tool didn't tell you what I told him. And I'm like, and
I just did a van. I was like, well, I guess he wants a 70s kind of boogie style van, like what I'm used to drawing the 70s stuff. And so I kind of whipped just a kind of a generic one because I had never heard of the van. It took someone like you, the aficionado of Knievel.
And again, I didn't, you know, and I mean, in my mindset, I'm mad at one of my workers that reached out to you just said to make a van because he had no idea what I was talking about either.
Oh, yeah.
Again, it takes a old school knucklehead like me that lived the era. And I'm like, no, man, the CB van. You're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, the CB van, man, you get it in 74. And of course, I know all these stupid descriptions, these toys. I have no idea.
Oh, you sent me photos. I'm like, oh, I see. This is an actual thing.
It's actually sitting right there to the left.
Right, I could see it over there. And at the time, yeah, I had no idea until you sent me all those photos.
And it was, and then I told you about it, and you're like, get out of here. And it was actually the, you know, the pinnacle point of our childhood of Americana, when trucking industry, everything was so cool, where everybody was talking on a CB, Breaker 19, good buddy.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking Smokey and the Bandit, BJ and the Bear, you know, Convoy, all these great movies. I mean, everybody's making, so they came out with a van for Evel Knievel because he was driving around the country in a Mack truck.
Yes.
You know, talking to his crew at that. So they made a CB van where you actually talked on a little head, you know, came out on a CB,
nuts.
And you would talk to the Evel Knievel, and he would talk back to you on the radio. So
I tease John all the time. I call him the Evel Knievel historian, and we made up a funny meme about him because
it's awesome.
It makes me laugh still to this day.
Jess has made fun of me several times over
every day,
and I love it. I think it's great. And now, of course, you know, she's made stickers of me. She's not, and I don't care anymore because I think it's great because, you know,
wow.
But
oh,
you know,
yeah.
I will never, I don't care. I love.
But we made the van. It's on a T-shirt now. I could see it right over there.
People love it. People are buying it.
It was a great idea. I'm glad you pushed for that because I would have just kept spinning off the same ones, you know, with the bike and the Sky Cycle. And so, yeah, it was an awesome idea. I'm glad we were able to get that made.
Yeah, and now that you're here, I actually was going to bring an idea about you, some crazy idea, because I see your awesome posters that are out there, right? With you, you have the one with all the cartoons that you ever did.
A little bit of everybody in that poster. We've got all the iconic TV shows and movies, and you know, from Knight Rider and Cannonball Run, and you name.
I mean,
Starsky
everything.
And Hutch,
Tulane Blacktop.
Yeah, they're all
everybody.
There.
You know, Duke's Hazard. Yes. It was so great. So now I'm picturing in my you know, wide world of John Bagley's brain here, that I've got an Evel Knievel going in the middle here of Evel Knievels and maybe Robbie next to it or something like that. And then you have all the cars. Like, remember the great movie posters, like Take This Job and Shove It. And
Kill
It. Remember how they were always in the middle?
Yes.
And they did a cartoon illustration. Everybody's kind
of
jumping outside.
Collage of everything. Collage, flying.
We actually
explosions.
Had, I can't think of who was the artist who did one for us a couple years back?
Sean Dickinson.
Sean Dickinson did some stuff for us. A great guy. So now I'm picturing that since we're working with you, I'm seeing an Evel Knievel poster with Evil's head in the middle of the cartoon.
Yes.
And every toy that he ever did kind of coming out the side.
Like an action movie poster.
Like an action movie poster. Evil Knievel. Love it. You know? And I mean, I think it's just something cool you could work with. I see the CB van. I see the Dairy Darring. I see all this other stuff. The Jet Psych. I mean, I just think it's really cool because I know I would buy it and hang it on my wall. So, I'm yes. like, you know, yeah, Austin's really surprised. Like, no way. I'm like, yeah, I would. You.
I think a lot of your ideas come from because you want something.
Yes.
You want in your collection and yeah. then everybody else. It can go to everybody else too. But their main drive is I want it.
It is. And isn't that where so much of that happens? You know, I think yeah. probably 80% of the artwork that I do is just stuff that I love and that I'm just doing anyways.
And then people jump on board with it and it's just an idea.
Yeah, because they see the passion behind that, you know, that it comes from yourself and then you get those that connect with that kind of thing. And you know, that's that whole poster that I have of all those TV shows and movie cars. Most of those are just, I just did on my own just because I love that stuff. And then and people, you know, find a way to connect with those things.
They love it too.
Yes.
And it's true. I mean, like, you look at any of the stuff that would, you know, it's just an idea of something I want to see.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, I'm like, I mean, I do think what other people are going to like, of course, not just what John Bagley oh, sure. all the time, Jess.
There's a little bit of that.
But I know what I like as a kid, and I know what people have come to my showroom and my shop and seen my crazy toy collection. I'm like, I bet somebody would like that. I bet you that would sell.
That's what's been so cool working with you. I mean, we've had a lot of those connections with those nostalgia things, whether it's Evel Knievel or you know, the different TV shows and movies, because I know how much you're into that stuff. And,
oh, it's crazy.
And so it's just fun, you know, vibing with someone like you that has those same interests has been really cool.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, we had a lot of good catching up at Shutton's place when we got to walk around his place because he's a toy nerd too, man.
Yep, absolutely.
I think that was the honor when I first went by Shutton's place, and it's actually done now. JR just finished it. That I actually owe him a 12-inch Bigfoot.
Nice.
$1 million man.
Oh, wow.
And I have one. I have two of them. And he said.
Really?
So it's pretty cool when you see somebody of the iconic thing of Dave Shutton, who has basically every cool thing known to man in my
name. Same stuff. All those same toys and everything that you have. He's got a lot of those.
And he goes, and then we started talking. And I showed him the thing. And all of a sudden, you know, to get Dave Shutton to stop. And to look at your phone, he's like, I don't have that. I don't have that. Where'd you get all those lunch boxes? I don't have that. He's like, you have every Hot Wheels made? I said, yeah, you got every Hot Wheels ever made. But he's got a small collection. I'm like, so to have him say that, and I'm like, that's awesome. He's like, he goes, what do you want for the $6 million man thing? I said, I'm going to give it to you for free.
Wow.
You know, because, I mean, okay, it doesn't matter the dollar amount. Just to have the relationship with somebody like Dave Shutton and to actually have him put on there what's going on. I mean, it's just so cool because I've been, again, blessed in many ways what we're doing. And we get calls every week from anything from toys to cars to real estate. And I love it.
Pinball machine
the other day, too. And Jess, now it's so funny because friends call me from all over and they want to they tell me about toys. Every single day this phone goes off starting at, well, I don't even think it goes off, actually.
It goes off all hours.
People send
night
stuff all hours a day of between toys and cars and collections and real estate. It's so much fun to be networking. I thank all of you out there are still doing it. And it's weird for me even to say that I can't get to all the messages all the time.
Right.
And it's cool. I love it. And I think now Jess is part of it. She's even getting to the point where people send her stuff.
Well, they send me stuff because you don't respond. So they're like,
that's what I wanted you to say. So again, there you go, gentlemen. Anybody, you know, you need to have the support of your woman because then she'll take messages for you. So.
Absolutely.
I told them early on, I said, the one thing I don't want is I'm not going to be your secretary. Guess who the secretary is.
But you get all the benefits of all this.
Yes.
So sorry, ladies, but she got it. So it's, you know,
it's so great.
We'll hang it up, you know, but it's all good. But so what do you think? Next stop, Detroit?
Yeah. We're ready to
get
go.
Excited?
Yeah. Super excited. We haven't done that show yet either. And I hear it's a monster and, we can't wait to get out there.
This is just a small taste of it. This is this building that you're in right now. This is a corner of Detroit.
Wow. Yeah.
You have two stories of Detroit. There is one whole wing. Detroit is the epic. You know, Pete Tundis, all the boys over there from all around. But this is the Riddler Award is given away.
That's the big one.
That's the Holy Grail. Best hot rod in the world goes out there.
Wow.
Friday night, they'll release the great eight, the final eight that are in there. And then Saturday, they announce the awards. And it's just. Like I said, it's the best in the world. You never know who's going to show up and just for celebrities walking around because it's Detroit Motor City, man. I mean, it's awesome. And I love the show because the celebrities, they actually have like, it's kind of like a swap meet toy sale in there also.
Oh, wow.
Somehow I think last year I brought you some mask toys back. Remember that? Yeah.
How cool is that? No, we're super excited. I can't wait to get out there and see it. I think it's going to be a blast.
And yeah, and one of the biggest things that these guys do over there, and again, hats off to all the boys at Autorama, what they do at the downstairs of that show is nothing but the rockabilly world downstairs.
Oh, wow.
Great. It's like, you know, every show they got like a little pinup contest here and there, but you go downstairs and it's just like, as you go down the escalator, you can actually see it transformed back to the 1950s and
60s.
Holy
moly.
Single girl and every single guy is dressed up like 1950s.
Oh, man.
And it's the whole downstairs, all the old gassers, all the old cars, all the old 50s, you know, 30s. I mean, it's so cool. And they've got rockabilly music playing all I mean, nice. it's just killer. It's just.
That's so cool.
And everybody gets along so dang well with everybody. And they got every. I think that's the thing that I still always say about this industry with motorsports, whatever we do, car world, art world, however we want to put it to what world it is.
Yeah.
It brings everybody, every race, every culture, every genre together, and there's no questions asked.
Yeah, because they're all just digging on the same stuff.
I love sitting in this booth and just watching people. I mean, we got people that are dressing up all kinds of goofy stuff. The girl's dressing Evel Knievel over here. One guy's wearing
her.
Some guy had a skull. I have no idea. He had beer cans glued to his head the other day. I'm just like, man, it's just. And all you can do is people watch. It's like a glorified Walmart some days, I swear to God.
I love it. Yeah, it's a blast. We just dig it. I love getting out on the road and doing these shows. And, you know, it's just, to me, it's just so silly that I think of it sometimes. You know, I feel like I'm a 9-year-old kid sitting at the coffee table in the living room, drawing cartoons, drawing hot rods. And the fact that I've been able to squeeze out a little bit of a living doing that is just a dream come true, you know? And so every day I wake up and I'm just like, this is so cool. I can't believe that I'm doing this for a living and get to hang out and meet people and see all these cool cars and be part of something as iconic as Evel Knievel. I mean, who could ask for more?
Doesn't get any better. It doesn't. We sacrifice a lot. And I, again, Jess will vouch for this one. It's hard at home and with being away from the family, isn't it?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, she's a rock star. I mean, for what she does when at home, putting up with stuff and going through. I mean, and we have awesome kids too. You know, that we go through together. But
yeah,
you know that when you're gone too, Thomas.
That's tough. You know, and you know, we've been fortunate enough to do this at a time in our life where, you know, both of our kids are now on their own and married. And it's just my wife and I. And so that part has been a huge blessing. It's still a big sacrifice. You know, we sold our house, which my wife loved dearly, you know, and we gave up a lot of those creature comforts of having a nice home. You know, we live in a little tiny place now that we rent. And we do that in order to make all this possible, you know, to keep the overhead low. And so we've had to sacrifice a lot of stuff that we were used to. But in the end, you know, we're together a lot more than we ever used to be. You know, it was a lot of long hours when I worked at the studios. And so to be able to do this now where we have this time together, we get to see this beautiful country and travel around and meet all kinds of cool people and see a lot of places that we've never been to before. It's just such a huge blessing. And so we're, you know, we couldn't be happier. And, you know, and you know, the truth is we don't know how long this is going to last.
Sure.
You know, I see a lot of peers and family members who get sick or get different illnesses or tragic things happen. And, you know, tomorrow's never guaranteed. And so I just figure we're going to do this as long as we can. And, you know, if it ends all tomorrow, then, you know, I'm thankful that we got the time that we had. And so that's kind of how I see it.
I love it. It's great. I just love listening to you guys talk. This is great.
So, yeah, I couldn't be more thankful for it all.
No. I think the biggest thing that I wish is we get, you know, and, you know, it's always, I guess what my mom always said, be careful what you wish for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause and now us growing up and doing a kid yourself, you know, we try to preach to our children what we got going on and make mistakes and do whatever. And I get so many young kids that work for me all the time and I try to tell them what's going on because I made the mistakes in my life of what's going on. And
absolutely.
But you wouldn't change them because it made you who you are. You know, you can't always, you gotta fall to succeed, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's the greatest thing about it is, you know, you always have, you know, that's never too late to turn things around and to take those lessons, those mistakes and stumbles that you've been through and that you've been part of that you can use that as a positive thing for tomorrow as a lesson for other people and for yourselves as well. And you know, as long as you look at it that way, that, you know, you can take these and learn from it and do something better with it and improve yourself, you know, then you'll always be good, you know, and then it doesn't matter, you know. And so that's kind of how I see it, you know, just to be thankful that I'm here, you know, thankful for the grace that has been given to me from family members and friends, and for every, you know, all the stuff that I've stumbled with and made mistakes with, that I'm still able to get up and, you know, do this kind of thing for a living and keep going. And so, yeah, you can't help but be positive about that and be thankful for that.
Amen to that.
Yeah, I think everybody's going through, you know, you go through, everybody makes mistakes. Lord knows I made few, and, you know, you burn bridges and do whatever, and time changes, and people do change and do whatever, and, you know, and
yeah,
we try to make amends on what we can do, and, you know, you try to get on a better path, and no matter what it is, you know, there's always tomorrow, and man, life's exactly. So short, you know, you used to argue all the time. I mean, we were both young once. We used to argue with everybody, you know, always, yeah, you know, and, you know, they would always just tell you, I'm like, life's too short for that. Nowadays,
absolutely,
it is so weird to me. Like, you know, we try not to argue with anyone. You just try to walk away because it's like life's too short for it all, man. It's just,
yeah, it's too short for the drama and too short for the nonsense. And it's like, you know what? Let's just be happy and enjoy what we have right now and you know, make the best of it. And you know, as long as you have that attitude in mind that, you know, we're all still growing. We're all still struggling with stuff. Yeah, really. We're all still going to mess up, but, you know, we're doing the best we can, and, you know, we're going to move forward and grow from everything and do what we can, you know, to be better people.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So we're going to head out. You're going to head out. Well, we wrap up tonight about 6 o'clock. And then are you going to head right over to Michigan right now? What are
you
going to do?
Well, we have a week. It's funny, you know, being in Milwaukee, I have my brother, my older brother, Joe, lives
in... I forgot to bring up the Menominee Falls story.
He lives in Menominee.
Yes.
Menominee.
Menominee Boobity Bells.
Menominee Falls. How do you say that, Tim?
Menominee.
I was half asleep when me and Thomas Theroux started talking in depth one night about some cartoons and Cartoon Magazine. We didn't even get touch base on that one yet, but it was like, and he started talking to me and he said, Menominee or Menominee. And I said, what did you say? I was like half asleep. I was like,
whatever the name of that town.
And I'm like, I said, you mean Menominee Falls? He's like, oh yeah.
Menominee Falls. Yeah,
but he was saying it more Indian, like, you know, and whatever. I'm like, and I just, it was so funny because, I mean, I believe, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it is Menominee Falls Indians, right? That's what they were. The high school.
It sounds like a Native American.
But he had it so, like, you know, being out from the coast out there, like, it was so funny. And I just started laughing. I was like, dude, I'm like, yeah. I said, I grew up in Germantown. It was like, we're right next to each other. And I said, it's Menominee Falls.
Menominee Falls. So my older brother, Joe,
so funny, man,
and his lovely wife, Stacy, they own a small art shop. It's called the Art Lounge.
Yes.
And it's in downtown Menominee Falls.
Yes.
And they do they have different paint nights. They do paint events. They have consignment with other artists, will display and sell their art there. And it's a great, charming little place. And my brother cooks cheesecake and they
Isn't
bake
Main Street?
I think
it's on Main Street, yeah.
I think it's
on Main Street. Okay. Yeah, you've been there. Yeah.
So that's their little place.
We didn't
know
the ties of it back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for the next week, when this show ends, before we head out to Detroit, we have a few days that we'll be spending here in town. And so I'm going to do a little meet and greet with some of the other artists at his shop.
You take the kids down too, I'll be in Detroit, obviously.
And then, on Wednesday night, I'm actually going to lead a paint night, a little party event, with my animation background. I'm actually going to be leading a small group in painting, like a old school Steamboat Willie, Mickey Mouse painting. So we're going to have that on Wednesday. And so, yeah, I look forward to hanging out and spending some time with my brother and seeing his shop and his family. And then Thursday morning, we'll head out to Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's cool. I mean, we got about 6.5 hour run. We of course got a crazy schedule this week, and being out there, we got a crazy deal going on out there. We got a couple bike unveils going on with it.
Yes.
It's like I said, it kind of went nonstop, and so we got that going on. But one thing I did want to bring up that you kind of brought to me again from a late night phone call, just an idea.
Yes.
And a magazine that I've mentored and collected for years. I know I've got tons of these things sitting in the closet and do whatever like that. Because of you, again, thank you first and foremost. Oh, we got a call from Mark from Cartoons Magazine.
Yes, Cartoons Magazine. I've done work on and off for them for a couple of years now. And I was on the phone with Mark and I was thinking about this whole Evel Knievel thing that we were working on with Motor Mania. And I said, I mentioned it to him and we started throwing some ideas around and then we got the phone call with you and started figuring out like how we might be able to incorporate Evel Knievel with this iconic Cartoons Magazine. And Mark was gracious enough. We said, well, why don't we do an entire Evel Knievel special edition of Cartoons Magazine?
Like, yes, please.
Yes. And so what's really cool is he's got a cast of artists that have they all have their own strips that they do, comic strips for the magazine.
Yeah.
And for one edition, all of the artists are going to incorporate Evel Knievel into their own storyline.
Yeah.
And then I'll be doing the cover, which I'm so thrilled about to do the cover. And we're going to have
there's a killer dude that's going to be on the cover too.
Yes. We've got some ideas that that John and I've been throwing around for the cover. And so we're working on that. And so, yeah, we're thrilled to be part of the Cartoons Magazine and to incorporate Evel Knievel into that, just bringing these two icons together,
yeah.
You know, thanks to with Motor Mania. And so, yeah, we're super excited about that.
It was the phone call. When you get these phone calls, I don't really, sometimes it doesn't sink in right away.
Yeah.
Then after I was, you know, the Bernie and Crass, the two cartoon characters that are in Bernie and Crass are the
Drowsley.
Yeah, yeah. They're part of Cartoons Magazine for what, 50 years? I don't know. It's just
crazy.
They started in the '60s, and now to get the phone call, they're like, "Yeah, would you want to be in Cartoons Magazine?" I'm like, "Are you kidding me, man? That's awesome, dude!" I'm like, "It's so cool." And then the talk, and I, you know, kind of told
have
you
a story. George do a special Evel Knievel edition of Burning Cross with the cartoons.
With the cartoons. I mean, and I, you know, now I'm getting the emails. To get the emails, to get the rough drafts come through.
For the approval.
And what's going on.
You're
and,
part
and,
of the approval
and all sort of
process.
Stuff. And, you know, I mean, I had to submit some photos, and my staff is going to find out what's going to happen pretty soon. But, I mean, a lot of them don't know that they're going to be on there. You know, one of them is on the podcast now that they'll be in the Cartoon Magazine, too. She's not going to. Oh, yeah.
It's going to be here.
It's going to be here.
You love it.
I mean, I love passing and paying it forward with all my staff and crew and everybody working. I mean, so the accolades are not just about Motor Mania, not about John Vegas, but my whole this whole industry, man.
Absolutely. That's the solid truth. Like when we were talking about some of the series that we're doing with this, you know, John brought that up right away about wanting to incorporate a lot of his team into the actual cartoon and get them involved that and making them a part of the storyline. So it's going to be awesome.
Can I have one request? Can I have creative control of which pictures you're submitting of me? Because you're like the worst picture taker that there is.
Are you sure?
And I'm going to end up looking like a troll.
Thomas has already got, well, I already got some proofs on my phone already.
Yeah, that's right.
It's already been done.
It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress. We're working. I don't worry.
If you see me in person, you can be like, it's not how she really
is. Well, he's going to be doing a lot of it for himself. I mean, a lot of himself. So we got a lot of stuff. There's, you know, I'm always working on stuff. I'm always doing stuff. And it's just, yeah, so much fun that we do and having an honor. And so, again, an honor and pleasure to be doing that and talking about that. And, you know, back to the 50s, you know, we're talking about Sturgis. We're talking about doing stuff. I mean, it just snowballs. And again, like how this all started, putting placement out there and just putting yourself out there.
Yes.
Anybody who ever listened to our podcast, anyone listening to me do, take advice from guys like Thomas Estrada, me, Jess, anybody who's out there, Jesse James Dupree, any of these big names that we had out there. Even Little Daddy Roth, always take the chance, man. Always
taking
the chance.
I can't tell you how many of the things that I've done of meeting the different people from Alice Cooper, from Big Daddy Don Garlitz, literally started with me just putting my stuff out there, shooting over an image. Hey, here's a drawing that I did. I've been a big fan of yours for years. And, you know, it's not always easy. And sometimes they don't go anywhere. I've done stuff where, you know, you don't really get a response or you may get just a minor response. But and so sometimes you can get discouraged and be like, well, I don't know if they're going to really like this. And I don't know if it's really any good.
Oh, yeah.
But taking that chance and putting your stuff out there, you know, where, you know, I sent over a just a quick little drawing that I did of Big Daddy Don Garlitz and to have him and his people respond and say, hey, this is really cool. What do you think about doing something together? And I'm like, oh my God. And so a lot of it is just taking those chances and just saying, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And
for sure.
All they could say is no, or knock it off, or ignore me, or whatever. But all of a sudden, you know, or you could end up getting a phone call from Foo Fighters and they want to do some work with you. And it's like, wow.
That was
unbelievable, you know. But it's so many of those. It's just been me, just, you know what? I'm not going to care. I'm just going to throw it out there and see what happens.
See what sticks.
You never know who you can call or do whatever. I mean, there's some people, it's so funny when you make those phone calls for years and they ignore you. And then also one day they call you back.
Yes.
And they call you back. And I know firsthand starting this brand with Motor Mania. And I mean, I've started other companies and other things too before in the past, but this was a little bit different because this is like I don't want to say the Hollywood world, but the car world, because you deal with so many celebrities and they're big names, they watch and they protect each other very well.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't do business with this dude. Don't get in bed with this guy because he's shady or he had a past or blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Or whatever like that. But then also when they start reaching out to you and you know, you have them on speed dial, you have their own personal cell phones and they text you all night long. And it's at first it's like, oh, that's great. And all of a sudden it's just like, oh man, Horny Mike's calling me again. But we have so much fun doing it now. And it's just, these celebrities are so great. But again, I don't think anybody is not giving me the advice that has been out there taking a risk to do whatever. But, you know, it's just like life is, opportunity knocks every day. We always say it. Every day, it's up to you to leave the door open and answer the door. So it's like,
right.
So many people are afraid to do it and jump out there and do it. Just take the risk, man.
Yeah.
Just do it.
You never know what's going to happen and where it's going to lead.
You're going to fail. You're going to fail for sure.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many of them that go nowhere. But then, you know, then there's one night you get a phone call and it's Alice Cooper and he's thanking you for a drawing. And now we're talking about doing some more stuff together. And it's like, holy smokes, this is really cool.
It paid off. It paid off.
Yeah, absolutely. So
you go through and do it. And there's times when you go through and it's just like, man, is this worth it? Is it worth it?
Oh, all the time. I think every day I go through those things. You know, there's every day.
Usually when I crawl out of bed, This morning we did it, I think. Right, Jess?
Yes.
Yeah. And
Sunday morning,
we do the same thing. My wife and I daily will have to have those moments where, you know, we have to stop and encourage each other and to keep going. And this is going to be cool. And let's just, you know, tough it out. And whatever happens, happens. And, you know, we both have those moments where I'm encouraging her and she's encouraging me. And so it's definitely totally normal to have those feelings and to go through those things. And that's a constant thing.
I'm trying to check on her.
He's over there hanging out.
Yeah, should we leave her a little bit?
I got to go back to the booth, and she's been working hard.
Well, we'll catch up again in Detroit, and absolutely, we'll hang out for the show here. But everybody, thanks for listening, and stay tuned. We got a lot more to come.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and we're looking forward to doing this again.
See you guys later.
All right, we'll see you in Detroit, everybody.